Behind every bit of mom wisdom is a story of a real mom and real kids just trying to love each other well. Whether you're cozied up on the couch with a mug of coffee or out for a walk, you're welcome to join us as we share stories and laugh, learn, and grow together. It's the iMom Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of the iMom Podcast. I'm Abby. I'm with Susan, Megan, and Chloe again. And this week, we are talking about slowing down and being present with your children. I had a very real experience with this when my first son was itty-bitty. He was probably like, he was able to crawl. So what is that, Chloe? Yours isn't crawling yet, right?
No, like seven, eight, nine.
Yeah, maybe around 9 months or so. And it was a rainy day, but we had a little covering in front of the house. And so we went outside. I took a blanket and some markers and some construction paper. And he was coloring. And then he like, you know, I guess he was walking because he kind of toddled out onto the sidewalk and then walked back. And my mom came over right then. And she's like, look at his tiny little footprints on the sidewalk. And they were like these little 3-inch footprints, and they were perfect. You could see the foot and then the tiny little dots for the toes. It was so cute. And I was like, I would have never noticed those little footprints because I was over here putting caps on markers and making sure that noticing that marker got in the blanket or whatever. And I'm like, you know, Mom, if you hadn't pointed that out to me, I would have never stopped to see that perfectly sweet little footprint on the ground. And I think that grandmothers are much better at slowing down and being present with their kids than moms are. So in this episode, I'd like to kind of talk about how we can slow down, what we can do to notice our kids more, and what we can do to be a little bit more present with them. So my first question is, what does it actually mean to slow down? Because we're not talking about moving more slowly, although maybe we are, but like, what is slowing down?
Well, cliche, but it means being in the moment, you know, not tasking, which is so hard.
So hard.
I do think multitasking is moving a lot faster because your mind is not focused on one thing. And so you're just naturally kind of distracted, right?
Yeah.
So fewer distractions to slow down.
Yeah. And similarly, I was going to say, which sometimes I hate when people use this word, but being intentional with your time and really slowing, not only just slowing down, but focusing on the child in front of you or whatever they're doing or whatever they want to do. I'm the worst offender because I love to get stuff done and task, like you guys said. But I've even just looked up today and my oldest pants are like an inch too short. And I'm like, holy cow. Like everyone says it, they grow so fast, but they really do. And I feel like I'm never going to get him back to being a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of my sons is always thinking about what's coming next. Like we will be at Disney World. And he's like, well, where are we having dinner tonight? Or where are we going tomorrow? And I'm like, dude, you are at Disney World right now. Be at Disney World.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of us do that too. Maybe not thinking about the next fun thing that we're doing, but our minds, instead of being where we are, we're thinking about what we're making for dinner or what's happening at work the next day.
Yeah.
And so slowing down means actually just being where and when you are.
Yeah.
You know? What are the things then that make us move too quickly? Like, why do we struggle to be intentional? Why do we struggle to be present?
We just have too much to do.
The to-do list.
But we all say that. We all say that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
My husband. We all agree.
He gets so mad at me. No, you don't have too much to do. You can do it. You have to make it a priority.
It's a really good marketing
question. Yeah. She's a really good. Awesome. I will say this. It doesn't get easier. I remember, and I've told this story before, but I remember once I was working in my study, which I was sitting in this one chair where I had a view at the front door. So this is at a point where my kids, Megan, they drove themselves to school. And Megan and Emily were both in high school. And Megan had driven them home and walked in the front door. So perfect time to be present is when your kids walk in the door. If your kids are older and they come home, you should try to be present. Instead, I was looking at my laptop. I heard him come in. No big deal. What was he? They're teenagers. And Megan went straight up the stairs from the front door. And Emily came in and she goes, Mom, did you not notice that Megan was crying? Oh. And I looked up.
Oh gosh, what was I crying about?
I don't know. Nate, because don't remember. She wasn't a crier. She wasn't a crier, so this was unusual. But my heart is not a crier.
She's not. I'm wondering what I was crying
about. I don't know. We'll have to ask Emily. But I was like, oh my gosh, and jumped up. If Emily had not said something, if Emily had not noticed, if Emily had not been with her, she would have cried alone, and I wouldn't have been a part of that, which would have been really...
Yeah. Emily's always saying, I need to show my emotion more.
So she was happy. Like, oh, my gosh. Mom, Megan's crying.
She did it. She did it.
Someone's like, yes.
I think that I worry. I think that a lot of times I'm not where I'm supposed to be because I worry about what's expected of me.
Oh,
you know, like, well, I need to have the laundry done. I need to have the kitchen clean before I start cooking so that I can then have a clean sink to put the dirty dishes in and so I'm doing those things instead of listening to my son explain Roblox, whatever to me, you know, like I think that our brains are just hurling expectations at us, you know?
Yeah.
And it keeps us from actually, being in the moment.
Yeah, Trent calls, he's like, I can see you're on the hamster wheel because I just have the thoughts going round and round.
Yeah. So where does your mind go then when you're sitting on the floor with your child and you want to be watching him put blocks together or play with monster trucks or whatever? What do you end up thinking about?
For me, I feel like, you know, because James is almost 5 months and he just started sleeping better. There was a long time where we were not sleeping. And I feel like I'm somewhat rested now. And I feel like I really am, I've said this a couple times, but actually coming up for air where I can really notice him. And I had a moment like 2 weeks ago where I just looked at him and just started crying. I was like, oh my gosh. Like I hadn't been able to like really feel my emotions because I just was like on autopilot survival mode. And now that I'm sleeping a little bit better, it's like, I don't know. I think I was disappointed is not the right word because it wasn't negative. It was just kind of shocked at how much disconnection I was capable of just to provide for him constantly. Like I was so in touch with like, what do you need? What do you need? Always looking to anticipate his needs. And it was kind of one of those moments where I was like, I can just enjoy you. And he's also at that age where he's more interactive now. So it's, I'm kind of growing into that with him.
I had a moment when my guys were little, one of them was little, and I was like, I'm like one of the only people you know. Like, you know, like four humans total.
Yeah.
And I'm distracted. Like, I'm not even paying attention to you. And I'm like one of the only faces you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And like, obviously that's a lot of pressure, but it's real, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't, do you feel guilty? Do you feel guilty when you do that? Or is it just like, well, this is I'm a human and my brain does that, you know?
I think two things. I think, you know, one, if you're a single mom out there, it's hard to get out of what Chloe's talking about because no matter what age your kid is, you're going to be constantly having to get stuff done if you're solo. So I think you got to give yourself grace. I think the second thing is we do put a lot in our calendars that we don't have to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of taking then an assessment of your life and how much time did I spend on Instagram instead of going to sleep early so I could get up early and get the laundry done before my child woke up.
Yeah.
You know, so kids are a priority and that's the bottom line. And you only have them for a short time. And at the same time, third, sometimes as they get older, like the example I get, we think, oh, they're on their own. They're okay. And so we don't zone in. Where when my kids were little and I'd pick them up from school, I'd be like, how was your day?
Yeah.
I missed you all day. When they get older, you're like, they're fine.
Mm.
And we really can. Even with teenagers, we have to focus because there's stuff going on in their lives that they need us for.
Yeah. Well, so that actually leads to my next question because the title of this episode is a two-parter, How to Slow Down and Be Present. So what does it feel like to be present with your kids? And how is it different? Being present with a four-year-old is different than being present with a 14-year-old. So like, because the 14-year-old might not actually want you around. They might not want to play with you. So how can you be present to a child without actually engaging? Because they don't want you to
engage.
You got to
know their little thing. Like I've said this before. For my boys, if I pick them up after sports and took them through a drive-thru or whatever, they just talk. They don't have to look at me. They're facing forward and they talk. That was the thing. But I do think you have to be really purposeful about making a connection. And with one of my sons, it like to this day, I have to be really intentional to just make sure I connect with them. Mm-hmm. With my girls, they call me. I was always getting connection with them. So you just, you do have to be, you have to figure out their way that they will talk to you. With one of my girls, it was when she'd come home. And again, I'm talking about older kids, late at night, whether it was middle school or whatever, not too late, but let's say they went to a party or something or a sleepover, following them up to their room while they unpacked or were putting things away or were getting ready, they would just start talking.
Yeah.
I read something one time, I think I actually put it in an article, and it like really gutted me. The idea that if we're on our phones a lot or if we're on our laptops a lot, for our kids to talk to us, they have to interrupt what we're doing. And I'm like, I don't want my kids to feel like they're an interruption to me, you know? And it's hard because you've got pinging and dinging and emails coming and things that you're waiting on, you know, like, oh, I'm planning this vacation and I'm waiting for this email. They don't know what you're looking at. You're doing something good. You're doing something for the family, but they don't know it. And so like putting all those things away, I think just even if they don't need you at the time, it shows that you're available to them. Yeah.
My mom told me she used to set timers and like, she's like, I would not answer the phone. I would not, even if something popped in my head, oh, I need to switch laundry. Nope. This is my hour of playtime. I can do that at this time. And it was a good way for her to have self-control.
And I think you can have those certain times to make sure, like when they come home from school in the morning, tucking them in at night. So if you work and you're not with your kids a lot, so you can't catch a lot of things or with a nanny or whatever, you can have certain times of the day where you're totally all in.
Yeah.
And you make sure you have conversations. And we have that book, Pillow Talk. What did we name it again?
From
we named
me
it
to after you.
From Me to You, where you can write to them back and forth. It's conversations.
Well, and
really.
we have the Q&U app that gives a broken down list of questions by topic, by age. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll just pull it out on my phone and talk to James while he has his lunch and like come up with really simple things.
I think part of the battle is that we live in a world where productivity is idolized. You know, you get a lot done, you check the boxes and you feel really proud of yourself because you've checked all the boxes. And so much of good parenting doesn't necessarily feel productive, you know, like especially with little ones, you know, like, oh, I'm sitting on the floor and I'm putting a train track together that he's going
to
destroy and I'm bored to death. Like, how do you remind yourself right then, you know, as your daughter is rehearsing her solo for the musical that you've heard 20 times and you're like, you've got this. How do you like ignore the sink full of dishes? Because that feels productive. Listening for the 20th time to her, you know, solo doesn't.
Yeah, it's hard. Because I get bored easily, but you just got to do it.
Yeah, and it's their childhood. You know, you think about it, like the little thing that you're doing, it's like that's their childhood, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I feel like too, as a little kid, like I remember my at least one of my parents, if not both of them, being at all my stuff. And it's like if your own parents aren't going to be there for you, who is? You know, it's just kind of sending a message to your kids of, you know, no one cares, which is really, really.
And they like to be cheered, even at Beck's age. He's 1.5. But if he gets the blocks stacked right, you know, like the cups he was stacking, and we all cheer, he's just like so happy.
Yes.
Yep. I read an article about the things that might feel unproductive but aren't, and I'll link to it in the show notes. But one of them is when you let your child help with a project, because that definitely is going to slow you down. But it builds self-esteem, it builds confidence, and it tells them that their presence is more important than the task, which I think is really important.
Good.
Also, having a pointless conversation, I'm really bad about this one. Like, I will want to talk to my kids about the schedule or how's your homework going or goals or discipline or anything that's like business, but to actually like let them talk nonsense to you, it says you're interesting to me. I'm curious. I want to know what you have to say about whatever you want to talk about. And I think that's such a good like self-esteem booster.
Yeah, that's
huge. Just did an ad for a fatherhood campaign that we're running. And it's this segment of ads is like How I Dad. And one of the dads is gets up in the morning and is making his kids breakfast and goes, so what did you dream about last night? Mm-hmm. And they go off and I'm like, okay, not pointless conversation, right? Mm-hmm. But a great way to just let that conversation spiral into something creative.
That's part of our nighttime, like a night routine. I walk out of the room and they say, I say, I love you, I love you. And that started because when we moved in with my parents after my divorce, the boys shared a bedroom for the first time. And they have not stopped sharing a bedroom now, like they still do. But they were in the same room. And so I say, I love you, because I've got two kids there. And so now we still say it. I say, I love you. And they say, I love you. And I say, nighty nighty. And they say, nighty nighty. And then one of them says, what are you going to dream about? Like, I mean, I can like hear it in my head. That's the exact tone and stuff. And I make up something silly. And like last night it was cake. I was like, I'm going to dream about cake. Aww. And so then in the morning when we wake up, a lot of times one of them will say, so did you dream about cake?
Did you get cake? Yeah.
And I can never remember what I dreamt about. Cute. But it is like a fun little like, let's just talk about something silly. And then occasionally they do tell me what they dreamt about. And I'm like, okay. Like you could have summed this up in like 30 seconds.
But yeah. That's great.
I also, I love the idea of, and you just said it a moment ago, Chloe, like about, you know, these are our kids and this is their childhood of, we have this attraction, and I read this in a book called Don't Miss It. We have this attraction to immediate results, and that keeps us like so busy that we neglect the things that have this like lasting effect, but a less immediate impact, which is spending time with our kids. We don't necessarily see right away what impact we're having, and so we just, it's harder to stick with it. It's like losing weight or something, you know? It's like, oh, well, it doesn't happen overnight, and so it's really hard to stick with it. But parenting requires these like little deposits of time and attention and care. It's like an investor mindset, right? Mm-hmm. You're investing in your kids. So my next question is, what are some things that make these small deposits of time, attention, and care?
Eye contact. Like looking your child in the eyes. I mean, even at James's age, like he's so young, but I mean, like when I sing to him, he loves it. Oh my gosh, he loves it. And like, you know, that's
because you have a good voice.
Well, I'm like, finally, about time someone appreciates my talent. I'm just kidding. No, but it is. It's like
audience of one.
Right. But he loves it. He really does. And it's like, it's no effort for me to like sing to him while I'm changing his diaper. But it's amazing. Just like the little effort of eye contact and a song. He loves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think silliness. I just think when they're little, having laughing tickle moments and that connection when they're young.
Yeah. My kids and I both really love traditions. You know, they just help with routine and I think make them feel safe. Yeah. And like my parents take my kids to Culver's every other Friday after school to get ice cream. And I just have to like let it go, even though I'm like, well, I was kind of hoping we would have ice cream after dinner. And now we can't. But like these little routines that just build relationship. And I just think tradition is really important.
That's good.
Yeah, I was going to say just quality time. And then also, I think the routine of repeating things to them, like at night, Hampton and I will pray different things with them or for them. But there's like one thing that he always says and one thing that I always say, and it just kind of ingrains it in them. And one of the things that Hampton says to the boys was, you have what it takes. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really sweet because like you said, short term, it didn't do anything. But now if he says like, I don't know if I can do that, he'll go, I have what it takes. Aww. And he'll give it a shot. And so it's just really cute little things like that, that to your point, at the time we were like, who knows if this is going to stick, but now it's kind of been ingrained in him.
It's amazing when you see some of the things that you've been doing that you didn't think mattered, like you notice they actually paid off or that they do matter.
Yeah.
You know, like I ask my boys every morning on the way to school, how can I pray for you today? And they always say the same things over and over again. Like literally they say the same things. I'm like, I want to branch out. I want to try something new. But no, they don't. And then one day we were distracted. We were doing something and they're like, Mommy, you haven't asked us how you can pray for us. And I was like, okay, aww, apparently you care. You know, it's just, they are listening. So
I love it.
So then my last question is, what's a sign that you're doing it right? Or maybe we just answered that question. Like, we're always going to feel like they're growing up too fast. We notice the pants are getting short, or that their baby fat is going away, or they're filling out college applications. You're like, this is going too fast. So how do you know if you're actually slowing down, because it's never going to feel like you're going slow enough. You know what I'm saying?
I read something the other day, I think it was on social media, and it was a teacher, and she was saying, you know, I don't know whether your kid was bottle fed or breastfed, whether they had a nighttime routine or whether they had a pacifier, didn't have a pacifier, whether they ate organic or didn't eat organic. She's like, but I know, I can tell the kids that have good parenting, that have been taught manners, that have been just, you know, loved and cared for and been taught how to treat people with respect and all those types of things. And it was a great reminder to me of like, sometimes these little things just don't really matter that much, but what we're teaching them and what we're ingraining in them and how we're teaching them to treat other people are the most important things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you slow down, you keep the majors the majors, right? And the minors the minors. If you're moving too fast, it's easy to get caught up in the things that don't matter as much. So that's a good word, Megan. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the I'm On Podcast. We will put in the show notes a couple different links for you to that book that I mentioned, and then some great ways to spend some intentional time with your kids.
Thanks for listening to the iMom Podcast. iMom is the motherhood program of the nonprofit organization Family First. Along with our fatherhood program, All Pro Dad, we exist to help you love your family well. Subscribe to our daily email, the iMom Minute, by going to imom.com/subscribe and get tons of great ideas, insight, and inspiration. The iMom Podcast is hosted by me, Abby Watts, along with Susan Merrill, Megan Tigner, and Chloe Blumenthal.